The scriptures are the nutrients that we need to grow healthy and strong and tall in Jesus Christ. This is our secret weapon against false teaching, against cultural pressures, against suffering when it comes.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Larry McCarthy, and in our series through the book of Ephesians, we're discovering how God sustains his people through the many challenges and vicissitudes that they will face. Pastor Philip, what is this secret weapon you're talking about that God provided for the church in Ephesus? And can I have some today? Can we have some secret weapon today, please?
Well, there's all these challenges coming to the Ephesian church. And so Paul's answer is he writes them a letter that is the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The word is grace, but that word by itself is not enough. We need not just the word of God, we need the love of Jesus Christ to sustain us. And the place where we encounter those things together is in the church, in the community of those who follow Jesus Christ. That's what strengthens us for everything that's coming our way.
Well, I can't wait to see how God sustains his people, people like you and people like me. So let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church.
This letter will be their sustaining grace. That's why Paul begins Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know fierce wolves are coming at you. I know twisted teachers are arising from within you. I know that cultural pressures are coming to make you compromise. And I know suffering for Jesus is on the horizon. And so I write this letter to you. Grace to you. This is not just a friendly greeting. It is what this letter is. It is grace to you. This God-breathed, Spirit-inspired, Christ-exalting letter is itself grace. Grace to you. Paul says, when I left, remember, I commended you to God and to the word of his grace. And now I write to you the very words of his grace, the words you will need, which is why he ends in Ephesians 6:24 with grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you. Chapter 6, 24, grace be with you. It remains with you. The grace is coming in the beginning, and now that you've received the letter, may the grace remain with you. In between these two opening verse and closing verses, we have grace saturating every inspired word of God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, because it is God's sustaining presence and God's sustaining words that will make them strong and steadfast and faithful and grounded, and that so they will hold fast to their first love. This is the key. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 down to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's what they need. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that the riches of God's glory will strengthen you with power in the inside of your being through the Holy Spirit, so that the immeasurable love of Christ might fill you and you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And how will that prayer be answered? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 down to 16. And he, Jesus, gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. See all the context clues to the situation? By human cunning and craftiness of deceitful schemes, they're at war. Rather, and here it is, the key, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Remember the twin threats facing the Ephesian church. They were in danger of losing the truth of the gospel and the love of their lives. What's the antidote? Speaking the truth in love. Truth in love. Being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ through the truth of the gospel, they are now to become mature and strong as they speak the truth in love to one another. The truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. And this twin strategy is what will make us holy. It's what Jesus is doing to make his bride holy. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, 25 to 27, he's talking about marriage, but he quickly shifts to Jesus Christ and the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her, look at this phrase, by the washing of water with the word. The word of God. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So how will the church become splendid and holy and perfect in every way? It is through Christ's sacrificial love and through the sanctifying cleansing of the word, the love of Christ and the word of God. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. Which is why Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Timothy, watch your life, the love you have for Christ, and watch the teaching. Watch your doctrine, the truth of the gospel. Stay faithful to both, and you'll save yourself and your people, your hearers. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 to 14. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Timothy, I know the challenges that you're facing. The false teachers from within, the cultural pressures from without, the suffering that is coming your way for the sake of Jesus. And if you want to know the secret, Timothy, of being complete and equipped for every good work, everything that you need to do to be faithful before God, here is your secret weapon, the Holy Scriptures. They are breathed out by God. They're profitable for teaching, to show you the way that you should go, for reproof when you get out of line, for correction to get you back on the right path, and to train you until righteousness becomes a habit of your life. The word of His grace, the word of His grace, this is your secret weapon, Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Preach the word, Timothy, in season and out of season, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when people love it, when they hate it, when it draws a crowd, and when they walk out. Because this is the word of God, Timothy, the word of His grace, and it's actually your only weapon. That's why he says in Ephesians 6:17, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's your only weapon. I know you're up against it, Timothy, but the word of God is enough. It's what Paul said when he left. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. So what's the Ephesians' only hope? In the face of false teachers and growing cultural pressures with suffering barreling down upon them, the Ephesian church must hold fast to the truth of the gospel with all their heart, as if their lives depend upon it. Right? The Ephesian church must hold fast to the truth of the gospel with all their heart, as if their lives depend on it. And what's their secret weapon? The word of His grace. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ Jesus. Friends, this is our secret weapon. This is our only weapon. It is our only and all-sufficient guide for faith and godliness. Amen? Amen. Friends, God's word is grace. God's word is grace. That tree that I saw on my hike growing out of the dead stump, I'm sure it didn't have an easy life. It faced disease from within. It faced storms from without. There were all kinds of pressures allied against it to try to destroy the life that had begun. But it found in the stump, down deep, it put down roots, and it found the nutrients it needed to grow healthy and strong and tall. Those nutrients ensured its flourishing. And friends, God's word is grace. The scriptures are the nutrients that we need to grow healthy and strong and tall in Jesus Christ. This is our secret weapon against false teaching, against cultural pressures, against suffering when it comes. Read this. Meditate on this. Study this. Wrestle with this. Memorize this. Surrender to this. Abide in this. Live in this. The nutrients you need to flourish in life in Christ are right here. So take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It never returns void, but always accomplishes the thing for which God has sent it. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. And so now, my brothers and sisters, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance which is among all those who are sanctified. Grace be with you all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. Thank you for joining us today. Whereas we talk about the power of God's Word and God's sustaining grace. Pastor Philip, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear from you an example of how God's Word helped and sustained the church or someone stand firm against cultural pressure or against false teachers. Do you have a real example you can share with us?
Sure. So a couple of years ago, there's a couple I know, and they had a kind of a surprise pregnancy, sort of late in life, which can happen, right? And they went to the doctor kind of late in the middle of the pregnancy, and they found out that it was a Down syndrome diagnosis for the child. And everybody said, you know, just abort the baby. It's not going to be a fun for you. It's going to be a challenge, the quality of life for the child. Like, everybody's doing it. Just cut and run. But these were followers of Jesus, and they knew the Bible. They knew the teaching of Scripture that everyone is an image bearer of God. So this is a child. This is a baby made in the image of God, and they've been entrusted as stewards of this beautiful life. And they're like, we can't do what everyone else is doing. We follow Jesus. And so they knew the truth of the Scripture, and that helped them. But it wasn't just the Scripture's truth. It was also the community of the body of Christ that came around them to help them in this moment, because it was hard. It was a heavy lift, right? And so they needed encouragement, and they needed date nights, and they needed people around them to give them resources and strengthen them and encourage them along the way and to sustain them. And God showed up for them as they were obedient to His word and surrounded by the love of Christ in community. That was transformative
for them. Wow. What a great illustration. I'm encouraged just listening to it, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, how this couple standing firm on the promises of God, on God's word, how they were able to stand, but also how the community, how their church rallied for them so they could collectively just love this child. What a great illustration. I'm glad you chose that one for us today. But you mentioned, not only in the sermon, but even now, speaking the truth in love. Every couple's retreat I've been to, there's always a part of the curriculum that has this about speaking the truth in love. So how do we balance that in our relationships? There's conflict, there's tension, there's stuff that just has to be said. How do we balance this?
Well, you know, I think we probably naturally lean to one side or the other of that tension, as it were. So some of us are truth people. We're quick to say what's right and what's wrong, to call things out, but maybe not so loving. Others of us maybe lean toward the love side of the equation, and we care about feelings, and we care about how someone's going to receive it. And so we think of ourselves as really loving, and maybe we hedge and don't really say the thing that needs to be said. But the biblical pattern here is truth and grace and love together. Truth and love together, speaking the truth in love. And when you do that together, it makes a huge difference. Because here's the reality. Unless you love, people are not going to hear the truth. They can't swallow it. It's you gotta have love coating the pill of truth if you're gonna be able to get it all the way down. And the reality is, if you think you're a loving person, but you hedge on the truth and you don't follow through and say the hard things that need to be said, that's not really love either. If you really care about a person and they're in a self-destructive pattern that's hurting themselves and others, you've gotta say something if you love them. So truth and love belong together. They're actually friends, not enemies. And when we speak the truth in love, that's the formula that allows us to actually have hard conversations within the context of a relationship of safety and trust that leads to transformation.
Is it helpful at all to even preface when you have to have that hard conversation and say, listen, the only reason I'm opening my mouth is because I love you. I have to share this with you because I love you. Does that help lower that barrier, the obstacle to them hearing the truth?
I think so. And when you have a track record of having been that loving person in their life over time, you can say, like, you know I'm for you. You know I love you. And it's only because I love you that I've got to speak some truth into your life. It might be hard to hear, but I want you to know I'm saying this because I love you, right? And that really does disarm, and it opens people's hearts a little bit more so they're not quite so defensive. And it's a bold act of love that is very Christ-like in the lives of each other. That's how we see our blind spots. It's how we grow and become more like Christ.
This takes us into the deep end of the pool. We can't talk about this stuff without talking about suffering. And people are hurting. People are suffering, not only within the body of Christ, but in our families. And to be honest, I think there's just a sense of being overwhelmed by the suffering. How does God's word play into that when people are, these are real hurts, they're really hurting here?
Yeah. I think one of the things we need to remember when we go through suffering, and everyone does, right? It's hard. But is to remember that God is a God who suffers with us, right? The Psalms say that God is, that he's nearer to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Jesus is a man of sorrows. The Spirit groans with us in our weakness. So we're not alone. When we go to the Psalms, we find a whole spectrum of emotions, from high praise to like deep grief and agony. And that's very human. And God gives us permission in the Psalms to feel openly all the dynamics of what it means to be human. And remember that Jesus himself wept in the garden, like we're not alone. And so we have a God who cares. We have a God who's with us in our suffering. The scriptures provide us resources for those deep, dark nights of the soul. And the thing we really need, and it's sometimes we pull away from this when we're suffering, but we really need community. That's where the love of God is incarnated for us in the church, in community, and we need that desperately. And so when we're going through suffering, we need God's word, we need God's presence, we need God's people. Don't pull away from those things.
That grace not only sustains us, it's truly amazing grace, isn't it? I'm just in awe of how God provides for his people. It's truly amazing grace, isn't it?
It is. And that's a great segue because that's exactly where Paul's going to go next in Ephesians. This amazing grace of being alive in Christ is all to the praise of his glory. And that's where we're going next.
Amazing grace. We can't exhaust it. And we've got a resource that might be able to help you. We're offering Dr. George Sweeting's excellent book, How to Begin the Christian Life. This is really a handbook, and it'll give you reliable guidance from Scripture on the critical steps for your spiritual journey. Are you unsure if you're a Christian? Do you want to know how to study the Bible, how to go deeper into God's Word? Are you curious about the relationship between prayer and fasting, the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, or you're interested in God's principles regarding finances? The future is exciting, yet it's challenging, and a strong foundation for the Christian life is not only pleasing to our Lord, but will help equip you for what lies ahead. That's why, for a limited time, we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or call 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us on Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.